All right, I am Niles Harvey, class of 26. We are here in Suwanee, Tennessee with Thomas, and we will begin the interview now. So my first question to you is, are there any major stories or things that you can share with us basically at your time at Suwanee?
Any major stories?
Yeah.
Like with me individually?
Or yeah, like it can be anything that stands out to you or is of specific memory that like made a difference or an impact at your life here at Suwanee.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Posse Scholar from D.C., so, like, you know, you had the Posse Plus retreats.
Yeah.
And those, every year, those always, like, stuck out to me, like, so much. You know, it's, like, different topics. Oh, yeah, you're a freshman, so I don't know if you've had it already, but they're really good events. You know, a bunch of people from campus, students, faculty, professors all get together, and you're kind of, like, you know, on, like, the same playing field, like, everybody's just trying to learn.
Right.
So, you know, you get to, and you take on, like, a topic that's, like, controversial. Like, I remember one year our topic was, like, us versus them. So it's, like, you know, a bunch of different, like, demographics, like, race, ethnicity, gender, and how we combat those, not only in, like, our real lives, like, outside of Suwanee, but also on Suwanee's campus and whatnot. So, yeah, those events always, like, were very dear to me because I got to not only meet people that I've never met before at Suwanee, which is, you know, weird because it's, like, 1,700 people here, so you meet everybody, but, you know, see different perspectives and get perspectives from, like, faculty and staff and professors because, like, you know, normally it's kind of, like, not really a power dynamic, but you can't really speak to them unless you have, like, a good relationship with them or, like, a certain level, but there you could, and... Yeah, and then just a good camaraderie. We did, like, these things called Warm and Fuzzies at the end where you just write a note to anybody that made you feel a certain way during the weekend. So, yeah, like, and it happened, I think we had four of them, like, once every year. So those always, like, stuck out to me. Those are some of my fondest memories at Suwanee, even though it didn't take place on Suwanee's campus.
Right, but they're still.
Yeah, with, like, Suwanee people. Because, like, you know, coming in, like, because I'm also from, like, I'm from D.C., so it's a big city. Like, coming to, like, the smaller, it's, like, trying to find your footing. Like, you know, there's nothing out here. I can't do the Uber. I can't, like...
normal stuff you would do in the city, right?
Yeah.
I get you.
So it's, like, you know, it really helped me to... Because I was very homesick my first semester going to the first Posse Plus retreat. It really helped me, like, find more of a place at Suwanee with, like, my peers. Because it was, like, you know, big... nice demographic of people. It wasn't just people of color. You had, like, the white students and white professors, people from all genders, and whatnot. People from different walks of life just coming together and talking, having conversation, like, honest, open conversation. People cried, people laughed. It was very vulnerable and very raw, but it was definitely something well needed for Suwanee.
Okay. That's good. I guess my next question for you is, like, I know I have my own perspective of what it was like to, like, see my first impression of Suwanee. What was your first impression?
Oof, my first impression. So I think the first time I came down here was during the prospective weekend, like, right before my freshman year. And maybe we just came on, like, a really good weekend or something, but man, the campus looked incredible. Because, you know, I had heard that, you know, it's 13,000 acres.
Right.
Honestly, coming out of high school, I didn't know what an acre was. I was like, is that a lot? But now I see it is a lot.
Yeah.
And I think the dorm that I was staying in was Hunter. And I had, like, a really good, I stayed with one of my good friends, Devontae Jennings. And he showed me, like, a really good time on campus. But I don't know, it was just, like... It was really cool to, like, be on a college campus because I didn't do too many tours before Suwanee. Like, I didn't really tour any other schools for real. So seeing this school was, like, insane because I'm thinking, you know, it'd be, like, a lot of big buildings.
Right.
A lot of, like, the campus just, like, bustling people in, like, the quad and whatnot. But it was, like, more, like, serene. It was, like, springtime, so the sun was out.
Right, it's a nice weather.
It was looking nice. Great weather. Devonta, he took us to, man, what is that place called? He took us to Greensview for sure. Mm-hmm. And then he took us to one of the lakes. Not the one that's further out, but the one that's closer to the farm.
I know, yeah, I think I was trying to talk about
it. Yeah.
The name of it.
So it was just like very interesting because it was like not what I was expecting
from right.
a college campus to have all this nature and have all this open space. Because like the 13,000 acres is not really like the campus, it's like everything else that like goes along with it.
Yeah, that's around 20 here.
Yeah, so I guess the long answer to our short question is I thought it was very unexpected, but it was very beautiful, and I was happy that, you know, I chose this school because I was kind of skeptical at first.
Yeah.
Because, like, middle of nowhere, you know, not super diverse, small. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of high schools where I'm from are bigger than Sewanee.
Yeah.
So I was
tell me about it.
This is not normal. I thought it wasn't normal, but I was, like, kind of skeptical coming in, but once I got here, I was like, okay, I could definitely see myself here. I'm also not big on nature, or
yes.
I wasn't, and now I am.
Right.
Like, you come here, because I did pre as well, mm-hmm. so that really, like, just throws you in there.
Into it, right.
So, yeah, I was like, okay, I can kind of see myself here. People here are cool. It's beautiful. There's more stuff to do than just, like, you know, most college campuses, like, bars and, you know, all that other stuff. But, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere. We have to make do what we have. So, yeah, I was kind of happy.
Okay. So, I guess going off of, like, those experiences, obviously, different programs that you're part of that really connect you with the campus, my next question, I guess, following up to that would be, like, how did your time on campus and the things that you were affiliated with, how did that shift or change your, like, first initial impression?
Let's see. I think definitely, like, coming in as a Posse Scholar helped because you have, like, the other Posse Scholars that are already on campus here to help you
mm-hmm.
and kind of make your transition, because, you know, we're all from the same area, kind of make your transition here a little bit easier. You know, people to lean on, people to talk to. Our mentor, Ms. Barbara, was incredible, incredible woman. And she was another person that really helped, you know, everybody in my posse, especially me, to transition from D.C. to Sewanee. And I really think it just, from my first impressions, the people here kind of just made everything else grow. Like, Sewanee, like I say, like, I was homesick, like, my freshman year, definitely first semester, a little second semester, but definitely first semester.
Mm-hmm.
So it did take a while to get adjusted, but the people here definitely, like, helped me create, like, a stronger impression of Sewanee. Not just, like, taking me around and showing me, like, different dorms and the different, the bluffs, the hiking trails, the cross, all that stuff. But also just, like, being, like, people to, like, lean on and whatnot. Like, I talked to, like, some of my other friends at other schools and, you know, it's, like, people have, like, their small groups and whatnot. But I kind of feel like, especially my time at Sewanee, it was, like, it felt very community-focused. Like, I had a good amount of friends and colleagues, professors and staff that wanted to actually, like, see me succeed, and me also wanted to reciprocate that feeling towards them. So my impressions of Sewanee, like, never really deteriorated. I mean, obviously there was, you know, stuff that happened on campus throughout, like, my 4 years, like, you know, racial stuff, or stuff focused around gender. I mean, I've had some pretty not good experiences also in the surrounding areas of Sewanee. But generally, like, the community aspect of Sewanee kind of kept me here, and I feel like kept the campus together. I can give, like, an example. Like, I think my senior year, there was... I guess we have, what is it called, like, an honorary degree, a recipient that, you know, was in the news for a bunch of, like, scandals. So, this recipient, he had his honorary degree had been removed from multiple other universities, like, University of North Carolina, I think, like, 8 other universities, and Sewanee was the only one where we didn't remove the degree. or revoke it.
Right.
So our senior year, like, basically our senior class got together and we were like, hey, you know, we know how big Sewanee is on tradition. We're going to protest you all, you know, not removing this guy's honorary degree because he's, you know, he's doing really bad stuff to women. So we don't want to be associated with that.
Right.
So we all decided, like, not to wear our gowns to graduation unless they said, hey, you know, let's remove his degree. Yeah.
Right.
And I feel like that community, that camaraderie, definitely, like, with students is not easy to find on other college campuses. It works because Sewanee is smaller, it's easier to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we all just kind of have, like, a similar mindset. Obviously, you know, everybody has different political affiliations and whatnot.
Right.
But the same mindset to do, like, what is right, generally. And us coming together helped to get his degree revoked. And so it worked out in the end. So stuff like that, you know, there will always be bad things that happen on campus.
Right.
And I don't want to call them scandals, but, you know, yeah, just awful things. And if your campus can come together as a community and build on that and fight back against that, I think that is, like, really important. That's something that, like, Sewanee has, well, I would say a good amount of integrity, and the students help to carry that integrity.
Good. My next question, I guess, kind of going off of those, you know, experiences, I would say, is, like, really honing more in on the Black perspective and being an African American student here. How was that experience? Was it, I guess, was it difficult as far as transitioning from maybe seeing, like, you know, you go to a university where it's predominantly white, you don't have maybe a lot of Black counterparts, and you have to try and, I guess, being African American male, trying to navigate those circles. What was that like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a little bit of experience, like, being in, like, white spaces with, like, my high school,
mm-hmm.
but it was, like, nothing like Sewanee. Like, yeah. I think we put us in stats at some point in my junior year to senior year. I think it was, like, something that was, like, 94% of the students identified as white. And I was like, wow, that is a really high number.
5%, right.
Like, I remember me and my freshman roommate, Kareem, when we, probably, like, a month in, we were, like, counting on our fingers how many Black students were in our class. And we were like, man, there are not a lot of us here. So it was definitely an adjustment, especially coming from, like, D.C., which is, like, very
diverse. You see, yeah, right,
like,
right.
You see all kinds of people everywhere. It wasn't always the most comfortable at first, because you're trying to, especially, like, being, like, 18, 19, like,
trying to,
I think I came, like 17, like, you want to make a good impression, not only to, like, the students, but also the professors. That's as well, right. Like, so you're trying to be somebody that you're not, or at least I was. Like, I, like, you know, I have a, what was it called, a code switching?
Yeah,
I caught myself doing that, like,
all the time.
Trying to just be more professional, which is just another term for, like, whiteness.
Mm.
And especially to, like, professors, because I was like, I don't want them to see me as
just another Black kid, right?
Yeah, like, I'm not really, like, I'm here on a scholarship, I'm only here for the scholarship type thing. Like, no, I'm really here to learn. I'm trying to do my best. I want to, like, I was trying to do office hours, trying to be in my professor's faces and have them get to know me,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, is a good thing to do.
Right.
But I feel like I was doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And obviously, I wanted to learn, but, like, also, I wanted them to feel like I was more than just, you know, another Black student.
Right.
So talking differently, being in their faces and whatnot, and I guess kind of changing, like, my whole demeanor to kind of match up with what I believed whiteness and professionalism was.
Right.
And trying to, you know, align myself as closely with that in order to seem more or less, I guess you say, Black, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And then with, like, students, I was kind of doing the same thing, but also a lot of the students I came in with were actually, like, really cool. Like I said, I did pre,
mm-hmm.
and, oh yeah, that's another thing I remember. When I did pre, I was the only Black kid in my class who did pre. So, like, I was like, oh wow, this is how it's really going to be.
Right, it's just me.
And then the other funny thing was, my pre-dad was, I think, the only author, Claude, he's Cameroonian, but he was the only, like, person of color pre-dad as well. So we were in the same family, so it's like, it just threw us all into one group. But I was just lucky that, like, my pre-family was, like, very cool, mm-hmm. allowed me to, like, be myself. I mean, even, like, the first time I was on Swanee's, oh, not the first time, but when I went for registration,
right.
I was just walking to Elliot, and I just met this guy named Richardson, a cool dude, and we talked the whole way there, and that kind of, like, had me let my guard down a little bit, because it didn't seem like he wanted more, or, like, he was fearful of me, because I've also talking to white folks on campus where you can see, like, they're more standoffish.
No, there's a shift, you can tell.
Yeah, you say something a certain way, use a certain word, it's like, oh man, you can see their demeanor kind of change. And it may not be like purpose, it could be, you know, maybe they didn't grow up around a lot of black
so
people
it's
as well.
Yeah, it's sick. Mm-hmm.
But like Richardson definitely helped me take my guard down and show me that, you know, I can try to be myself, but also learn from him and learn from everybody else on campus how to be a better version of myself as well. And you know, me and him are still friends to this day. He's like my first friend on campus. So yeah, it was like transitioning from like a place like DC and coming to like a place like Swanee as a black male. It's not easy. And I was just thinking about this on my way over. It's like you could be here for 4 years and you will never get used to being in like an all white or a majority white space like
yes.
this. Like it's so hard to get used to, especially when you go back home
yeah,
and you're back in like all black or a mixed space.
Right.
It's definitely, it's like a shift that goes over you, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely know what you mean, because speaking to that, like, I've had my experiences where the times where I will maybe get the rare chance to go off campus. Mm. I don't have a car, so the rare chances I do get to go off campus. Yeah. I'm like, you kind of go from, since you're at Swanee, you feel like you're in a bubble, you're enclosed. Mm. And then when you step out of that and you realize, like, whoa, there's all this stuff that maybe I may have been previously like around or things that you kind of recognize. You're like, okay, you know, there's a world outside of Swanee. So I think that's one thing as far as that perspective, like student of black student for me, like right now, that's one of the things that I kind of have to realize is like there's Swanee and then there's outside of Swanee.
Yeah.
But I guess going back to you, so you would say that like your overall experience here was really trying to connect with your blackness, and which I mean, like, you obviously probably had that before you came here, mm-hmm. but then coming here, there was maybe a shift, and you maybe might have lost a little bit of a connection with it. So, would you say that maybe your journey here was kind of reconnecting with that African American experience?
Yeah, definitely. Which is like weird to say because it's like a majority white space, but I remember in high school, I had a decent sense of self,
mm-hmm.
obviously, you're still young, but I remember, I was not a big fan of like Black Lives Matter because I think that's around the time when Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman, that whole case. I think that was my senior year in high school, and that was really, I mean, Black Lives Matter had been around for a while, but that was really when they took prominence.
Mm.
And I was not a fan of like the name, which, you know, a lot of people say like, oh, like what? Like I was like, why isn't it called All Lives Matter?
Right.
I was like in that type of mindset, and coming to this Swanee, like I said, you know, I kind of perpetuated those beliefs a little more, not only because I thought that was what was right, but also like being with in these white spaces where, you know, they're kind of saying the same thing, and I'm trying to, like, you know, not be too volatile, I guess, not try to shake things up too much. That posse plus retreat I mentioned earlier, that definitely like changed my perspective. I got to see more perspectives from other people of color about like everything that happens in the world.
Right.
Obviously, I had like my friends in high school.
Yeah.
But you know, you can argue with them and whatnot. But meeting people who you don't know that well, who are having this perspective that look like you, it like really helped me change and I guess radicalize a little bit. And my whole perspective on the movement has completely shifted.
Right.
And I understood why it was called Black Lives Matter. And I also understood like my blackness and the power in my blackness as well, but also the danger that comes with it. And you know, I definitely have been in various situations more around Sewanee's campus. Not really me personally on Sewanee's campus facing any racial prejudice, but definitely around Sewanee's campus, where my blackness was basically a threat to me.
Right.
So, yeah, it's difficult to navigate, but having, especially the students here at Sewanee are, I feel like, very special, and they also have a good sense of self, and they, like I said, helped radicalize me and help me see blackness in a way that I hadn't before. So I was really more like on like some, you know, everybody should love everybody type thing, which everybody should, but there are levels to it, and a lot of the students here helped me see that, and not just black students, not all students, but a decent amount of them. Like, I remember I was just talking to my friend about our first Posse Plus experience, and I was in a group with a professor. We were doing religious groups, like grouping based on religion, and at the time I was an atheist, so I was, you know, in the group with atheists and whatnot, and one of the professors had told me that being an atheist is like the closest he's felt to being black. And at the time I was like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, you know, you're like an outlier, or like, you know, you looked at this a certain way because of like a demographic that you're in. But like my good friend Bethany, it was also my posse, a white woman, she pulled me to the side and was like, I can't believe he just said that to you. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, he just compared a like religion, which is more or less a choice, to you being black, which is like not a choice and like very dangerous to you, and that's like not okay. And I was like, man, I didn't even think about that at the time. Because when I was like, you know, I was a white professor, I'm not trying to like press him out or anything,
right?
But also, it didn't even click in my mind until she said something to me about that you know, you can't really compare anything to blackness. Like, we don't have like a choice in our skin color, and people see you a certain way for something that you have a choice over. So, you know, a lot of people had a lot to teach me my freshman year, which I'm very, very grateful for.
And I guess speaking to those like learning moments and teaching moments and lessons, like, are there people, professors, or maybe friends that made your life at Sewanee like pivotal or just really important or memorable from the standpoint of like, you know, I was able to be myself and understand maybe more so my purpose here at the university?
Oh yeah. Yeah, a lot of professors and staff. I mean, definitely Miss Barbara Banks. Honestly, Kenny, I think she was the dean of students. But she was also my posse mentor, so that's kind of what the main focus I had with her. But she was one of the main people that kind of made my life at Sewanee so much better. But, you know, she did that for, like, a lot of students here. Like, she's, like, a legend. But, yeah, like, just always having her door open, able to talk to her about any issues, anything happening to me on campus. If I'm, you know, not doing well in the class or I'm having trouble with, like, a relationship, like, anything I needed to, she was always, like, there for me. And I am, like, eternally grateful to her for that. Because, honestly, like, without some of her guidance, I don't even know if I would have made it through Sewanee. Like, my freshman year was very, very, very hard for, like, a plethora of reasons, both personal, but then, like, academic and adjusting. And she stuck by me, like, throughout the entire process. And it's, like, one of my best friends. It's weird to say about, like, a staff member, but, yeah. Professor Johnson, or Miss Johnson, like, even though I never took a biology class, like, she calls me Thomas the Tarantula because we just had an interaction my freshman year where I saw a tarantula and she said it wasn't there, but I swear it was there. And just every time we see it, she calls me Thomas the Tarantula. We just have a conversation. It's like something slight like that is like really, like really cool. Like, I didn't think you could have a relationship with that, like with like that with a staff member or a professor where you just talk to them just like as a peer,
right?
And y'all just have funny conversations. You laugh, you hug, and then you go your separate ways. Like, that was also really like important for me to have, because you know you have that with your friends, but having it with like staff members is really cool. Professor Lucia Dale in the computer science department. I don't know if she's still here. but she, I took a few classes with her, and computer science was a hard subject for me. I don't know why I chose a minor in it, but she really helped me along the way, and like also like open door policy, and she was very, very good at doing like not giving you the answer, but also leading you like to like the right answer. And so I don't think I would have made it through computer science, all those courses without her. And I was always afraid to take her class because everybody before me was like, yeah, she's a hard professor. Like, her tests are hard. She's like really strict. She's mean. And she's like the nicest lady. She's cool as hell. It's like, and she'll help you out. I mean, yeah, the classes are hard and coding is hard, but she made it so it's like, you know, bearable and easy to understand, easy to digest. Let me see. Oh, Mr. Benjamin. Even though I always wished I had a strong relationship with Mr. Benjamin, but I was always in Miss Barbara's office instead of Mr. B's. But like towards my latter years at Sewanee, I definitely started talking to him more and learning more about his history with Sewanee, and like all the black classes, the black students that he recruited, and the impact that he had on Sewanee, and that it kind of, how can I phrase this, like showed me, because that mixed along with like the Robeson Project, it kind of showed me that, you know, Sewanee has changed from like when it was incorporated, like when it started, a lot, and it's going in like a good direction. Like you have Mr. Benjamin is the director of or the dean of multicultural affairs like for so many years, and he's done so much for not only black students but just like all students. Like I was just talking to Jaime, I think he's class of 07, who is the founder of OLA, and Mr. Benjamin was the one that like pushed him to like, you know,
do it right.
So it's like he had such an impact not only on the campus but on the students as an individual. So definitely him for sure. Professor or Karen Proctor, and Professor Courtney Thompson, two of my favorite ladies on campus, women on campus. Just being in their office and getting guidance from them, because they were some of the professors that, you know, they see their black students as black students. Like some professors just, you know, you see all your students as students, you want to help them out when you can, but they recognize like, you know, I have resources for you and I will help you out and I know you're going to do great, but also I recognize being a black person on campus, it can be very hard. It can be hard to find those resources, or you don't even know what to look.
Yeah.
So I want to help you find those and put you in places and positions for you to be great. So, I mean, Professor Proctor has definitely introduced me to like multiple people outside of Sewanee, and, you know, various organizations and whatnot to help me expand on like my career. And Professor Thompson, I took Black Masculinity with her, and just being in her office, that really like, wow, that class is crazy. That really helped me understand myself as a black man more. And just talking to her and getting her background, her experience, and her giving me advice and whatnot really helped shape my senior year and kind of like post-grad as well. But yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of, I was afraid to like talk to a lot of professors about deeper stuff outside like academics and whatnot. Like my freshman year, like I said, like I was really there to like be in their face and show them I was more than just like a black student. But as I grew older, I realized that, you know, these professors can be here just to be like a general resource to me or and staff members, and a lot of them want to. It's a really good community here at Sewanee. So yeah, like, yeah, there are a lot of professors who and staff members who have helped me and kept me here, and yeah, helped a lot of my friends, recruited other people. So yeah, I'm very, very grateful for a lot of the staff and professors here. Professor Elrod, he was like one of my economics teachers. Man, I was struggling in microeconomics, and he would just make it so easy. And he was so chill and so cool. And oh, man, yeah, Dude, I'm going down memory lane now.
No, it's that's what it's for, and like I said, keep go as long as you want. I mean, me personally, mm-hmm. I'm glad I'm getting to hear that you had so many positive experiences with professors. That's definitely something that I want to be able to have as well. I mean, I already have that with Miss Johnson Ray.
Yeah.
And she's been awesome. She's helped me with a lot of stuff, and kind of she talked to my parents when I came here for registration, mm-hmm. met my parents, talked to them, and I remember my dad and my mom, they were like, there's this woman in the biology department you need to go and speak to. Yeah. She's going to be expecting you to come by. If you don't come by, I'm going to give you a call. So I stopped by, went to her office, and spoke to her, and granted, she's my boss for work study, but mm-hmm. she's acting kind of almost like a second mom, because yeah. she's like, you know, she's there, she's like, you never need to come in and talk, and you know, come and talk and sit down, and but she has her particular ways about how she wants things done.
yeah.
But no, that's good. So my next thing is one point of interest that I kind of wanted to talk about was I know that you were talking about the black masculinity class with Professor Thompson and how that was really impactful. Could you maybe like talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, because I took that class my senior year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm about to, like, after this, I'm out. I got to go into, like, the real world. And, like,
right.
You know, because, like, Sawinus is like a microcosm of the real world. Like, most jobs you go into, they're going to look kind of similar to how Sawinus looks demographic-wise.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that black masculinity class, there was a lot of people in there. But Professor Thompson, you know, she gave us weekly assignments, which helped out a lot. And Professor Thompson is not like she's not gonna let you slide on stuff, you know.
Nah, yeah,
like
yeah.
She gonna grade you strictly. So I struggled in the class at first because, you know, we had these writing prompts, and I thought, you know, she said just answer the questions. So I'm answering with one, two sentences, you know, trying to like get by and whatnot. I'm getting like 2 out of 10s, 4 out of 10s. I'm like, I thought I answered correctly. Like,
right,
she's
right.
She's like, no, you need to write more. I started seeing what other people were writing, and it's like paragraphs. So like, I say all this to say that really started me looking at my black masculinity, but also how the black men that we were reading about were portrayed as well, because it forced me to go more in depth about what we're reading. What does black masculinity look like, and why is it currently looking a certain way? You know, I think her syllabus actually had a picture on it, and it was like the same guy, but on one side it was, you know, him kind of shirtless with a tank top, tattoos, do-rag, all that, and on the other side it was him in a suit, and it was like, why is, well, it didn't say this, but in my mind, like, looking back, it's like, why is black masculinity seen more as the picture on the left with him as, you know, tattoos and,
right,
like, he's ganged up and whatnot, and not really what's on the right, where he could be, like, a lawyer or a government member.
Right.
Like, why do we view black men as unprofessional, a danger, like, maybe won't make it to, like, real work or, like, a job, going to jail. And, I mean, statistics do show that, you know, black men are the least employed, heavily incarcerated. But a lot of that comes from already implicit bias.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people always bring up the whole, black people commit, you know, 50% of the crimes.
Yeah.
The 13% of the population. One, that shit is from, like, 1990.
Exactly.
It's an awful stat. But two, it's also inaccurate. It's like, those people didn't even go to jail. They're just they're arrested for those crimes. But they're arrested due to a lot to implicit bias and people's already preconceived notions.
Right.
And that is a lot how people view black men. And you can ask, like, you can ask, like, younger white students, too. Like,
yeah, no,
they haven't been around black people. Like, if you see a black man walking down or a group of black men walking down the street, are you going to cross the street? Like, what are your thoughts going through your mind?
Right.
As opposed to seeing a group of white guys down the street. So, and honestly, in my mind, like, even before that class, like I said, I was, you know, becoming more and more radicalized in my blackness. But I still had implicit bias in me as well. I mean, I've had terrible experiences with black people too. Like, I've been robbed because I'm not from like the best neighborhood. So I've gone through those experiences as well. So it's hard to like be like, it's wrong.
But yeah.
But at the same time, you gotta have a little bit of skepticism. Like, give me a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that I'm not this like. What did Hillary call us, a super predator?
Yeah, like the general stereotype, like, you know, I can be identified as something else than what you think.
Yeah, so it's like that class really showed like a wide range of black men, and what we can do for the black community, but also how we are perceived by every other community. I remember one of the lessons that we had was about like privilege, like black male privilege. Mm-hmm. And it was a very hot topic in class because, you know, you don't really hear black male and privilege going
in
together.
In the same sentence, right.
But it's like, it was very thought-provoking to me because it was like on the opposite side of, like, you know, black men are kind of at the bottom of like the totem pole, but then you have black women who are even lower on the totem pole.
Yep.
Than we are. So in our own community, we can have privilege over those women, and half the class is like, how do we have privilege? We can't use it in society. It's like, we can't, but we can use it within our community. So that's another thing that helped me look at like my, like, being a black male more, because I'm like, I never even thought about that. Like,
mm-hmm.
I should like take more stock in how I treat the black women in my life, and obviously how I just treat women in general.
Yeah,
like, especially like black women, because I can have privilege and power over them within my own community. So I need to do what I can not only to lift up black men, but also black women as well, and, you know, take a more intersectional approach as opposed to like a, you know, black people can rise together. It's like, you know, you lift as you climb, but at the same time, you know, in society, black women will kind of have it worse. So we have to do our part as well within our community to not, you know, make life worse for them as well. So, yeah, taking that class really opened up a lot of thoughts about, like, my own masculinity and how it ties in with, like, blackness.
Well, my last question to you is really just to kind of time to talk about anything you want as far as, like, any other stories or memories that you might have. Like I said, they're kind of along the previous question, but just that made any sort of impact or, you know, that you go to and it's your first thought is, like, this is what made Swanee.
This is what made Swanee. Let me see. I'm trying to rack my brain for...
Yeah, no, all good. Take your time.
Some of the more specific instances...
Take your time.
I don't know. I mean, I can continue to talk about like the Swanee community. Experiences at Swanee, but I don't know which one. Like, I mean, the instance I talked about with my class coming together.
Yeah, yeah. So,
like, that definitely screams Swanee to me. Like, us coming together as like a community, yeah, to protest and, you know, get stuff changed.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like a holistically representative view. It could be something like personal too. Like, if it's like a memory that's like stood out, like, that made Swanee for you, mm-hmm, then that's fine too. Like, it doesn't have to be holistic. It can, okay, obviously, okay, it's oriented towards you as well. So anything is
okay. My freshman year, another thing that really helped me a lot was my dorm. So I stayed in Smith, and I think my freshman year, that was like the second year Smith was even a thing.
Yeah, this is
nice. It's a nice dorm. I mean, it's not like Ayers or St. Luke's, but it was nice. So I got lucky. Everybody was like, "Oh, you're in Smith. Oh man." But I remember my hall on Smith. We were all so close. Like, we were all so cool. It really, like, gave me, like, that whole, like, college, like, what you see, like, the media and whatnot experience.
Mm.
Like, my roommate, Kareem, great guy. We ended up being roommates all 4 years. And he's still, like, one of my closest friends. Our friends next door, Kit, Alexandra, man. I mean, honestly, Smith as a whole, like, our whole dorm was all pretty, pretty close.
That's good.
Like, we had a good sense of community within the dorm. Our APs and proctors were all super cool. You know, they, you know, obviously laid down the law and whatnot. But, you know, we partied with them. We, you know, drank with them. And we could also go to them and talk to them about issues that we were having. But, yeah, I mean, definitely, like, my hallway, we would kind of, like, the turn-up hallway. Like, you know, other people from other places in Smith would come down and come to our rooms. We kind of had, like, an open-door policy.
Right, but, personal.
But, you know, go knock on the door. Sometimes people didn't even knock. They just, like, look.
Yeah, like, what's up? Like, what's going on?
What's happening? Like, sometimes we have people just in our room playing our game while we were gone. Or it was Kareem's game, but... It felt really, really nice, and it definitely helped me with, like, the whole, like, homesickness. Like, I mean, obviously, fall break, I had to go back.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, I was so excited to go back home, but, I don't know, I was also looking forward to coming back and being with those friends again, and... For some reason, freshman year felt longer than any other year. I'm not sure why, but I still remember the end. Like, we were all moving out, and we're all really, really sad that we're all going to be living in new dorms, like, next year. Because, you know, sophomore, like, you're a freshman, so you'll find this out. But, you know, sophomore year, you're kind of at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to picking dorms.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't be gowned yet. You know, obviously seniors out, like, seniority takes precedence, so
yeah.
A lot of people get, you know, they call shipped out to, like, Gorgas or some other dorm out there, Quintard,
yeah.
Or Trez. So, you know, moving away was pretty sad, but yeah, definitely, like, being in Smith was very, very good for me, like, my mental health. That's another thing. I didn't really take advantage of, like, the counseling services here at Suwannee. They're really good.
Mm.
And sometimes it's depressing being up here because you're, like, in the middle of nowhere. I would definitely suggest, especially with, like, Black students.
Yeah.
Definitely try to get off campus at least, like, a few times a semester. Like, Chattanooga, Nashville, even Memphis, kind of far.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that would definitely help with, like, mental health. And also, you know, help you meet people. Different clubs do, like, different events. Like, I know I went to Atlanta one time with one club, and that was very nice. But I'm getting off topic.
No, you're good. That's why we're having this interview, so you can expand on topics like that. So this is great.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, I definitely, like, very much suggest that students get off campus. Look, it's nice. Having all the nature and the bluffs and the hikes, that's really nice, and that's also very beneficial for people. But I feel like, especially as, like, Black students, we need to be around more Black people.
Right.
Just to have a sense of comfort. Even if, like, you're cool with, like, the white people on campus.
But still, you want a sense of community, a sense of self, where you, like, you feel like, okay, like, I know, like, oh, my homeboy is going to be here. I can go to certain people and be like, all right, I'm cool, I can...
Take off the armor. So, yeah, I definitely feel like Chattanooga, Nashville, Memphis, like, those are all or just traveling, you know, as far as you need to.
Nice, some way to get off campus.
Yeah, it'll be very beneficial to your mental health. And also, if you're not from Tennessee, there are cool places to visit. Get some Tennessee history. I mean, the KKK originated not too far away from me. Oh, that's another experience I could talk about.
Yeah, please.
Charlottesville happened during my time in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was another white supremacist rally that was happening in Shelbyville, which is, I think, an hour or 15 away from here. So, man, a good amount of us, we are about to go counter-protest this, because we're not about to stand for these white supremacists taking over. No. And when the protests, what are they even protesting? Why are they upset?
Right.
But, you know, a bunch of us, went to, counter-protest. And that's another, way, we show, community for just America in general, you know? This is bad, but it's very threatening to us as black people as well, so we're not gonna stand for that. So yeah, a bunch of us went up to Shelbyville to protest, and we had to wait in line just to get in because there were a bunch of people already up there ready to counter protest, which was a good sight.
No, that's a good sign. Yeah, that's a good sight.
And then I think only one white nationalist there, and yeah, he didn't really do anything, kind of just stood there. But there was another white nationalist rally. I forget the city, but in another part of Tennessee that another group of Sewanee students went up and counter-protested that, and it was a bigger rally. I think it got a little bit violent, but not anything too crazy.
Yeah.
So we were kind of concerned for their safety. But that was definitely an interesting time because, man, that obviously it sparked a whole bunch of conversations. I actually got to speak about my experience on a panel at Sewanee, which was good because, you know, Sewanee is giving us a space to
vent,
talk
speak,
about that,
right?
Yeah, vent out our frustrations, but also, you know, try to educate people who may not be knowledgeable on the situation, white nationalism, and how that not only is a threat to people of color, but just the country in general. They're essentially terrorists, in my opinion. That's my
opinion. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know, it, try to educate people who either don't know or who don't want to know. So yeah, that was a really interesting experience. I've had a lot of interesting experiences with white people, not affiliated with Sewanee, but near Sewanee.
Mm.
When Trump won, we had the Trump train.
No.
I don't know if you heard about that, but
no, not yet.
Yeah, it was a caravan that just went through, our campus all the way to downtown Sewanee, just, you know, Trump signs, you know, beeping
wow.
horns, and, you know, but students came out, and we were obviously Trump won, nothing we could do about it in 2020, but, you know, we came out and kind of, counter-protested that as well. We had made our signs, and, the Black Lives Matter, and kind of, I guess you can't really counter-protest, what they were doing, but, you know, just to show that we
right.
are not okay with, Trump winning. That was, a dark day for Sewanee. I remember my partner at the time came to my room and cried based on the election results. Because I worked at Clerg, so
yeah.
During the time, I was just getting updates from, staff, because you can't be on your phone, so. Man, I think some professors canceled class. But
man.
It was good to come together as a community at Sewanee. Obviously there were Trump, people voted for Trump here, Trump supporters.
Yeah,
and whatnot,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
But it was good to see a lot of people coming together and kind of counter-protesting that and speaking up and making our voices heard. That's one thing Sewanee students will do. They're going to find a way to make their voices heard somewhere. I'm not good with, I'm rambling, talking shit, but I was not good at speaking, especially public speaking, before I came to Sewanee,
yeah.
or even making my voice heard and talking about, freshman year, I would not have done a panel on that. I probably would have went, or I don't even know if I would have went, but
right,
if I had went, I definitely wouldn't have spoken out on it, because I didn't feel knowledgeable enough to speak out. I didn't feel like my voice
mattered. Yeah.
But meeting people here, especially the professors and staff I talked about, and the students, they definitely show that, yeah, obviously
it does
voice
matter.
Matters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of experiences like that helped me really see that, you know, I am Black, but I have a place in this world, my voice has a place in this world that matters and people want to hear it. And I also have two ears too. That means I have people to listen to, and I hope I can continue to do that and continue to find people who can educate me and have conversations and whatnot, same as like what I've learned and had here at Swami.
Nice. It's good to hear. Like I said, it's always good to hear things like that and stories like that, because I think as a student now, that kind of keeps things in perspective for me, and obviously what there is to experience, what you can deal with, and kind of being more self-aware, which obviously as a young African-American student being a freshman, that's something that I desperately need.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear his experiences. But like I said, is there anything else that you'd like to share or talk about? If not, all good. But.
I don't even know what time it is. I really haven't been talking a lot.
Look, whole point of this is to talk and get your experience and understand the Black perspective, and that's why we're doing this.
I think I've said everything that I need to. I mean, just like I said, you know, find your community here on campus. I do, you know, as Black people, we should try to stick together, but that does not mean you should ignore or try not to, you know, be friends with anybody else on campus. Like, go to other events, Ola, Akasa, I'm blanking on the Asian, Polynesian Asian Association, but, you know, try to go to other events and support the other demographics on campus as well.
Right.
Have friends from everywhere, because once you leave here, like, you need to know how to speak to Black people. You need to know how to do it in a way where, you know, you're still being yourself and you're being genuine. Like, you don't have to code switch or, I mean, I've learned a lot in the workplace too about, like, how professionalism and all that is just like a microcosm of, like, whiteness and how, and white supremacy. But you do have to also understand that they have a level of comfortability with Black people as well,
right,
that they may not be too comfortable with. So not saying you have to make them feel more comfortable, but also there's a sense of respect, mutual respect you should have with, you know, everybody you meet. So I think it's important to have like different people, like friends from different backgrounds and whatnot. Obviously get off campus as much as you can. Definitely take advantage of the mental health services here, because they're really good. Join clubs or Greek life, and find community there as well. And take in the nature at Swanee. And you already have Ms. Johnson. Definitely like make relationships with staff members and faculty that will last you a lifetime. Like a lot of students like don't take advantage of like the staff in that capacity, and some staff don't allow students to really take advantage of themselves in that capacity, so you know, finding that area in there that you can work in. But yeah, it's not easy being a Black student at Sewanee, and you'll never get used to being in like an all-white space like this, but there are ways to make it easier, bearable, and, you know, Sewanee is a fun place. It can be a fun place. They say it is, which you make it, but, yeah, it can definitely be a place where you can grow and thrive and come out a lot better than when you went in, you know.
Nice. Like I said, if that's all, then, like I said, I'd just like to thank you for your time, obviously, and everything that you've shared has been beneficial. I know for me it's been very beneficial, and like I said, just getting to hear a different perspective and getting to just broaden my horizon is, you know, always needed.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And thank you for like you know, putting on this, because I don't think we had this last year. We definitely didn't have something like this when I was a student. So just hearing, being able to hear like alumni and like previous students' experience and helping that shape your experience or anybody else, and like learning. And I've learned from you as well, like, it's really important, and it's really good, so I really thank you for putting this kind of thing on.
Absolutely, absolutely.